Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
$4 million loan has been approved for them to be able to kickstart operations there again, getting Heritage Point finished down at Canalside. Just your thoughts on what you may know and just seeing that project getting up and going once again come March.
Give me a hammer and a nail because I'm ready to get going on this project and to see it happen in Canalside because its stalling created a blight in Canalside. And so the conversations and the deal that it seems that the state and the developer came to is a positive one. It is a $4 million loan, and I believe that, you know, if anything went wrong, the state of New York certainly has enough capacity to retract that back. But I do believe that the loan also reassured bankers and investors on that site that the project did have feasibility. So I'm thrilled that a deal was reached. And you know, when you think about what's happening at Canalside, that the magnitude of that project in really a small, dense area with it being construction zone had really hindered concerts at Canalside, people that are using it for recreation. I have Explore More that's adjacent to it, where I have people that are living with disabilities and kids using that facility all summer. So with the construction project stalled, it really hindered a lot of those things down there. And then let's also look forward to, in a year or two, we're going to start seeing project happening at Marine Drive, where it'll be completely redeveloped. So I need that project done first, so then we can get to Marine second, because there's a lot of investment that's going to go down there. And I want to stress the mixed use component of Sinatra's project and development, because when you're redoing neighborhoods, socioeconomic diversity is so critically important. So for that to be a mixed use structure where people can live and make it a home, and there will be storefronts and there will be vibrancy and there will be density, is super important to have down there. And then in conjunction with all the things that are happening at Marine Drive and at Canalside, and then our waterfront development, because if we need more people living in downtown core, and we need a little more people to live on our waterfront. So I'm really thrilled that the critics can say what they want, but we got to get something done. And it looks like right now that a plan and a deal came up in place to jumpstart and get this going.
Are you confident that there is a timeline at least where this can get done quickly and efficiently, so the Canalside community can move on from almost a year of inactivity down there? And then also, as you made mention, that other projects that are going to be going down in Canalside area, down in that region, can start to get going and we can start seeing that region thrive.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I feel comfortable because the developer did state that they needed this last piece to really, for the finances and for the numbers to work, to reassure people that borrowed to get that project done. So they say that that was the last piece that was holding into it. It, to me, looks like a shell. And then they say, oh, well, the shell means it's 40% done. I'm like, really? It doesn't look 40% done. So they assure me that the plans can get done, and that really, like, the shell and the hard part is there and then is done. And now that it's just, you know, moving the entire project to completion, my biggest focus now is, okay, now that we have construction and these loans short up, what does the construction season look like, and what can people anticipate, because they're going to be inconvenienced again, you know, due to the stalling of this project. And, you know, I just also ask people too, is let's just hold on, let's get this project done. And, you know, I have hope that it's going to be a, you know, really contributing use and bring a lot of vibrancy down there. And that's the type of diversity and socioeconomic diversity that we need. We need to bring everybody under the sun to enjoy our waterfront. And, you know, that complex is not designated for any one person or anyone. There, most of them will be market rate. And so getting people to live on Canal Side in that area and to enjoy the waterfront is going to be really beneficial to us all. Because I stressed today at the Finance Committee that when people live in the city of Buffalo, they're spending money and they're consuming products and they're seeing our shows. All that money in sales tax gets generated and captured by the city to then help rebuild the city and provide services. So that density is incredibly important to help move the city of Buffalo forward.
Last question I have for you, that project in particular, I know it's only part of this problem that downtown's kind of experiencing now, but we're seeing businesses closing. We saw Bray Miller close, we saw Dinosaur Barbecue is leaving at the beginning of February, and then we've also got Toutant that's closing in the middle of February. How much of that is so important going forward to be able to help these businesses and help others thrive in that part of the city? Because it seems like there was a lot of movement. I know the pandemic had a huge factor to that. There's not a lot of people that are moving or that are working in the city, and now businesses are feeling that effect. I mean, what is the solution, at least in your eyes, is the, you know, Heritage Point all part of that?
Yeah, it really is, and it is a part of the solution. I'm glad that you asked me that question, because the fact is that urban cores in downtowns and cities have, anywhere across the country and even the world, had to adapt and change because the pandemic killed corridors. I mean, you're not going to see an influx of office workers, and right now some projections are from between 20 to 25,000 people that our core saw every single day, purchasing, consuming, shopping, buying, going on lunch, having meetings all over the place. And then we see that the COVID just literally completely changed that social norm. And so when you look at a vacant downtown or you look at vacant areas in our core, the office we can't keep praying for office workers to come back. We just have to accept that this is a social norm that changed, and the only way to bring back that density is not just solely on transactional density, but it's also residential density of people living there. And let's face it, the younger generation now wants to live in a more dense, walkable area that's connected to public transit. We're not looking for, you know, a single family home with a white picket yard. We're looking at different living options. Can we have a condominium? Can we have a cooperative? Can we have these different models of living to build strong, dense areas? So that residential component to have permanent density is a really critical piece, and then that will spur and help support businesses and establishments to then encourage transactional density to come down for the concert, come down for the restaurant, come down for the activity, come down for the event and the festival. So the combination of that will help move the city forward. And I think that we get stuck in the city of Buffalo where we get in this kind of like not my backyard mentality of saying, oh my God, you're just building this for everybody else. No, we're not. To build a successful city, we need to have people coming, shopping, and consuming, and living, and enjoying the city of Buffalo so that we can draw revenue to then help fix up the neighborhoods in the city of Buffalo. So it's not either or. It's not downtown versus the neighborhoods. It's really downtown Buffalo and the waterfront is an asset to us all, and it belongs to all of us, and we need it to truly be a successful and competitive city.